you believe God is greater today? Do you believe God is greater? Come on now. Do you believe God is greater? Come on, let's say it together. He is greater. He is greater. One more time. He is greater. God is greater than anything we face today. Now, I am excited today as we conclude this series we've been doing since the very start of early summertime. All the way through, we've been doing this series, and we got some other exciting things coming up in the next few weeks. But today, we're going to conclude the series, He is Greater. And I want to talk to you about the thought that God is greater than our insecurities. I know nobody battles insecurities in the house today, but this is for those two people. God is greater than our insecurities. You know, I meet people all the time that at the heart and the core of their spirit, they believe if they really met Jesus, personally met Jesus, that Jesus doesn't really love them or that Jesus really doesn't accept them. Jesus really wouldn't love me. Jesus really wouldn't accept me because my life is a mess. My life does not look anything like everybody else's life in here. Everybody else, they got it together, but my life is a mess. Pastor, I may look like I got it together at church, but outside of the church, my life is a mess, and I say, welcome to the club. We're all a mess. Come on now. Let's be honest. Let's take the mask off and quit acting like we've all got it together. We only serve a God who's got it together, and when I put my faith and trust in Him, He aligns my life where it needs to be. But today, we allow those insecurities to creep in, and it changes our walk with God, which changes the way we see God, and we don't think that we're qualified for God to use. We don't think we're qualified for God to use us. It breaks my heart when I see people feeling this way. A recent poll that I read, it said that all unchurched people between the ages of 16 and 29, 87% of them said that the reason why they don't go to church is because the church is full of people who will judge them. 87% of the non-church-going people between the ages of 16 and 29 believe the church is full of people who will judge them. How do they get there from that? Number one, a lot of that has to do with the media. The media really paints that picture. The media is going to take the most, you know, the most polarizing church figure they can, the person holding the sign out there, yelling at people, screaming at them. You know, they're going to use those people to paint the picture of the church. We've all seen it. It happens all the time. They're going to find the biggest redneck they can out there screaming and hollering, you know, and we're like, you know, really, that's nothing to do with the church. But the media wants to paint the church that way, that the church is just full of judgmental people. And then, you know, some of it comes from there are some churches that are full of judgmental people. We're praying this church is not full of judgmental people. We're not going to allow our church to be full of judgmental people. We're a church, we're open, and we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But, you know, it's important that people realize that God's not there judging you. God's waiting for you to come to Him just as you are. And it breaks my heart when I hear people saying this. Number one, you know, people say things like that, you know, and I'm like, really, you don't come to church because you think the church is full of judgmental people? Well, you just judge the people in the church. So you're not coming for the very thing you said you wasn't coming for. It makes no sense to me. I heard people say, you know, I would go to church, but the church is just full of hypocrites. I'm like, well, come and join us. We could use another one. Come on now. I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, if you ever find it, don't go in because you'll ruin it for everybody inside, okay? There's no perfect churches, and there's no perfect churches. But we realize today that this is a spirit that, if we're not careful, that it really gets into our hearts. You know, one time I've had people say this, you know, and you know, I'm not going to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. But you never hear anybody say, I'm going to get up and I'm not going to work today because there's too many hypocrites at my job. I'm not going to work. Or I'm not going to school today because there's just too many hypocrites down at the school. I mean, no, you're getting yourself, get your tail out of bed, you're going to school. Get up and go to work. I got things to do. I got responsibilities to fulfill, you know. And, you know, if you're looking for excuses, you'll always find them. And one of the excuses that Satan really wants to do is to make us think this. And the real issue is this. The real issue is right here. This is the real issue. As I don't think Jesus really likes me or accepts me. He likes other people, but if I'm being honest today, I don't think Jesus really likes me or accepts me. And that causes insecurities in our life. It causes insecurities in our worship. It causes insecurities in our walk with God. You know, many years ago, I was serving on staff at a church as an associate, and we were having this big conference, and we had this national speaker in, and I was in charge of the first part of the service, and my wife was leading the worship team there, and she was there practicing, and we had a newborn baby, and so I brought the newborn baby, got him ready for church, and got him there, and when he got there, he had a big blowout, you know, in the diaper, and I'm like looking through the doors, mom's still practicing, I got to go back to my meeting. So I take him to the, I'm dad, I got this. And so I took him back to the nursery, started changing his diaper, and all of a sudden I heard one of the most foul sounding things come out of the backside of that baby. And you would thought someone would turn the skunk loose. I got sprayed. And we're not talking number one, folks, okay? I got sprayed. This awful foul stuff came out of this child. Sprayed all over my pants. I'm like, what am I going to do? I've literally got, okay, I got it all over me, okay? So I start trying to clean it off as best I can. I'm like, I don't have time to go home. I got to get back there. They're waiting on me to go out for this conference to start. And so I clean off as best as I can. I run back to the meeting, you know, and I run in. They're like, they've been waiting for me to pray. And the pastor's like, sorry, I had to change my diaper. And I'm in there. We're all holding hands to pray for the service. And all of a sudden, these people go. They start sniffing around. The pastor's looking at me like, dude, what are you doing coming here smelling like that? I got kissing here, you know. I'm like, sorry. I just got sprayed, okay? I just got sprayed. Saw my wife before she goes out. She goes, oh, my God, you stink. You need to go change before you go into church. You can't go into church like that. Like, I don't have time. And I got to be out there in like 1 minute. Like, I had time to go home and change. I'm supposed to kick off the service. And so, you know, many times that's kind of the way we feel. You know, like, you know, I got to change before I come to church. I got to change. I stink. I stink on the outside and on the inside, especially. I stink. If people really saw the real me, it's messy. My life is not all together. And I don't feel qualified to come in. I feel like I need to go change first. Before God can use me, I need to go change. Before God can do something in my life, I need to go change. And what happens if you can't clean up? What happens? Do you stay home? Do you say no? We get insecure. I love this story in Matthew. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 9 here in just a minute. But Matthew was a disciple of Jesus who wrote about his time with Jesus. But Matthew was nothing like Jesus. Look what it says here in chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Jesus walks up to him, "Follow me and be my disciple." This is what Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Now, there's something really cool about here is that we see, first of all, I love it that Matthew writes about himself in third person. Isn't that pretty cool? There once was a man named Matthew that Jesus came to see. You know, like, dude, that's you. You're writing the story. Just say, Jesus came to see me, okay? You don't need to do all that third stuff. That's just kind of like, this is where all the hype started. On Twitter, this is what he'd been tweeting. I'm just telling you right now. But Jesus is there. Jesus walks up to them. Get this. Jesus goes to Matthew. Matthew does not go to Jesus. Jesus goes to Matthew. Matthew does not go to Jesus. Jesus walks up to him. See, often we think we pursued God. I pursued God, and I finally found God. No. God's been pursuing you all along. God's been coming after you all along. God's left the 99 to come after you in your mess, even when you stunk, even when you was unclean. He still loved you and he pursued you. He pursued me, he pursued you, and he still pursues us today. It's not because I was clean enough. It wasn't because I was good enough. It wasn't because I came from the right family. No, it was because of his love, his grace, and his mercy that he came after me and he came after you. Don't ever mix it up. Don't ever get it wrong. He pursued us first. He loved us first. My wife and I, we used to joke all the time. You chased me. No, I chased you. No, I chased you. No, you chased me. You know, we argue about who chased the first one first, you know. That's not that way with Jesus, okay? He chased you first. He came after you first. He came to us first. Don't ever mix it up. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. And Jesus came after you with intentional love. 1 John 4:10 backs us up. He says, this is real love. Come on now. Not that fake love. This is the real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. He gave his only son. Jesus came to us first. Jesus pursued us first. God was wooing us first. God was pursuing us first. Get that out of your theology. I didn't find God. God found me. And God's been pursuing me. He's been pursuing you all the days of your life. He's been knocking on your heart's door. He's been ministering to your spirit. He's been speaking. Have you heard him? But he's coming to you. He's pursuing you. Today, I didn't love him first. He loved me. That's why it's such a great love story. He pursued me in spite of how I smelled. He pursued me even though I stunk. And sometimes I still stink. And he still pursues me anyway. He still loves me with his grace and mercy anyway. See, it causes my insecurities to leave when I really realize how much he really loves me. See, Matthew's first name was Levi. Matthew's first name was Levi. And the reason why he was called Levi, we find this in the book of Luke. When Luke's writing about the same account of Jesus calling the disciples, he says that Jesus went to a tax collector named Levi. And it was his Jewish name. He later changed his name, but he was a tax collector. And what you got to realize about the tax collectors there of the Jewish nation at that time was they were under the Roman authority. What happened is the Roman Empire had sent to conquer Jerusalem, and they had taken over through authority. The government was taking over the rule of Jerusalem, and so they were bringing their armies in. They had conquered, and now they're wanting to occupy. Not just conquer, but now they're wanting to occupy. And how they could do that was they would tax the people, the Jewish nation, to pay for the Roman Empire to be there to rule over them. Sound familiar? It's kind of what Great Britain was trying to do to us, right? On our Independence Day, we said, no, we ain't going to have taxation without representation. We don't want you here. Go. And we declared our independence as a nation. But this is what was going on now. The Roman Empire was coming, trying to tax the people to fund them being there so they could rule over them. And to make matters worse, what they would do, they would hire from within their own people, Jewish tax collectors, who would go, they say, all right, this is how much we want, and if you can collect more, that's your pay. So all we ask is you give us this certain percentage, and if you get twice that, then you can keep the other half of that. Just give us ours, and you can keep it. So it became the scam where they were scamming their own people out of money, their hard-earned money. These people had started businesses, started trade, and they had bought boats and had employees. And now all of a sudden, they're giving half their wages away to the government, and half of that was going to somebody who was stealing from them, and they had to do it under the Roman Empire of their authority. And so can you imagine how these people were hated? These people were the most hated people in society. No one wanted to be around them. They were the Roman mafia. I'm telling you, Netflix would have loved these guys. They'd have had a documentary on these guys already. The Roman mafia. Hey, come here. You got two horses? Bring one of them to me. Thanks for the family. Okay? I mean, they would, you don't want to pay up. Okay. Hey, You know, this is what was going on. The Roman mafia was taking over. And to make things worse, the people who were running it were their very own friends, family members, people from the community were stealing from their own. Oh, man. You talk about the most hated people. They were not allowed to. The people in the Jewish nation, they didn't want to eat with these people. They wouldn't eat with them. And they would definitely wouldn't allow any of them in the synagogues. You ain't coming to our church. No, no. Get out of here. We don't want you here. Get out of here. They're the most despised, hated people. But Jesus approaches Matthew. You can imagine Matthew sitting behind his tax collector's table, sees Jesus. By this time, Jesus is building followers. I mean, he's got more followers than anybody on Instagram by this time. Okay, he's out there. He's got all these followers. He's building momentum. The word is spreading. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And then Jesus is walking up. The buzz is going around. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. And Matthew looks up and Jesus is walking right toward him. Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine Matthew pointing his head down? If I don't make eye contact, maybe he'll go to somebody else. But Jesus walks right up to Matthew's table. And does he condemn him? Hey, why are you stealing from your own people? Why are you acting this way? Why are you working for the Roman Empire? Why are you doing this? He doesn't once condemn him, does he? Jesus doesn't once condemn Matthew. All he does is he walks right up to Matthew and says, hey, you, I want you to follow me. Come on. Me? Jesus. He gets up and he follows Jesus. He doesn't say, hey, clean up your act. Hey, stop what you're doing. Hey, go and apologize. Hey. He just said, come, follow after me. Look what verse 10 says happens next. 9:10 says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. What? So Jesus now goes to him and says, come, follow after me. And then Jesus not only follows after him, but now Jesus goes straight to Matthew's house. Wait, you're not allowed to go eat with this guy. He didn't just eat with that guy. Look what else showed up. He's having dinner at Matt's house. And then what? Many, many tax collectors and sinners. Come on now. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. This is who Jesus came to rescue. This is who Jesus came to love. This is who Jesus came to share his mercy and grace with. Not just the ones who've got it together, but the ones who have blown it tremendously. He comes to us. He pursues us. It teaches us that the message that Jesus never asked us to clean up first. Jesus never asked us to clean up first. He just simply says, follow me. He never tries to clean us up first. He just says, follow me. See, if we're following Jesus, then the rest of the things in our life, they'll start getting better. We'll say, oh, I need to change this. Oh, I want to do better. Oh, I need to straighten up some things in my life. Oh, I need to change some things the way I'm doing. I need to change my attitude. I need to change my talk. I need to change the way I'm doing some things. I'm following Jesus. I'm with Jesus. And the more I follow him, the more I want to be like him. But Jesus never asked us to clean up first. Why do we ask everybody else to clean up first? Why do we feel like we got to clean up first? See, that's insecurity. I got to clean up before God can use me. I got to clean up before I can follow after God. That's insecurity and a lie straight from hell. God wants you to know he's calling you today. He's calling me today. Look what verses 11 and 13 say now, through 11 and 13. And then when the church people, I mean the Pharisees, come on now, you know I'm talking. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and those sinners? Isn't that special? Eat with the tax collectors and the sinners. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. He goes, I desire mercy. Not sacrifice. For I had not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus said, I have been calling people forth, and I'm not coming to call those who are well. I'm going after the sick. That's why we teach here at Destiny that our church shouldn't be a hospital, a country club or a hotel for the saints, but it should be a hospital for those that are sick. And if you're not sick and you're attending here, then you need to be helping somebody else get better, helping somebody else get well. And if you're sick, welcome. We're glad you're here. Come and let God change your life. Come and let God speak to the very core of your hurt and your disappointment, to the very place when you are, that you know that Jesus loves you. Every part of your life, He loves it. And He comes to you and He says, just follow me. Just follow me. Stop trying to clean yourself. Stop trying to make yourself qualify. Just follow me. Just follow me. This is what He does to us. He comes to us. I was on a trip a few weeks ago at a family reunion in Florida. I went there and for a few days. And my cousin's boyfriend was an Uber driver, and he was picking me up. And he was kind of my chauffeur for the time I was there, taking me around, picked me up at the airport, and took me around, and anytime we needed to go somewhere, he was driving me back and forth. And so we spent a lot of time together. And the first thing he told me was, hey, man, I kind of have suffered insomnia. So, you know, I fall asleep. And so a few times I had to grab the wheel because I see him nodding off, you know. Hey, wake up, you know. So me and the Lord were good. They're not tripped. But after a couple of days of he and I talking, he goes, hey, you're a pastor, right? I go, yeah, you know. I didn't come in preaching at him. I just come in, be myself, you know, and just try to be real. Finally, he opens the door and says, hey, you're a pastor, right? I said, yeah. He goes, you know, I used to attend church all the time. He said, matter of fact, my dad was a pastor for a while. He goes, but I'll never go back to church again because the last time I went, and he begins to tell me the story about how he was involved in law enforcement as a local police officer in the community and how he blew the whistle on some bad cops in the area. And the whole thing blew up, and he got dragged. They tried to drag him in with it because he was the one who blew the whistle. But he was the one who blew the whistle. He ended up just retiring. He had enough years in the force. He could retire and go ahead and get a full retirement. And just went a different direction. And he said, I was really hurting, and so I decided to reconnect with the church. He said, when I walked in the church, people looked at me, and all they did was judge me because of something they read in the paper. And the paper was not telling the right. The paper had him involved in the whole thing when he was the one who actually blew the whistle and exposed the whole thing, trying to do the right thing. But because of what someone had wrote in the paper, trying to drag him, they believed that, and he walked in, they all looked down at him. They were all looking at him like, what are you doing here? And he goes, I'll never go back. I've never felt so much judgment in my life. And I said, you know what, man, I understand. I understand what it's like. I said, you know, being a public official, it's hard. I said, being a pastor, it's hard. You live your life in a fishbowl. You got people that believe a story or hear this or do that, and people judge you all the time. I understand what you're going through, man. I can relate. And we talked, and I began to try to minister to him, you know, and do my best to not say, you know, don't let people's judgment that one time stop you, because God loves you so much, and God's grace is so big for you. I just prayed for him, you know, and that's really the way so many people feel. They feel like, man, I'm just judged. You know, everybody's judging me. The church is waiting to judge me. God's waiting to judge me. No, I want to paint the picture to you today. He doesn't judge you. He's pursuing you. He's coming after you. He loves you with mercy. Get over that insecurity. His love is greater than that. He left the 99 to come after you. He left it to come after me. He pursued me. He pursued you. And He comes after us today. It's not about me. It's about Him. He loves us. In studying the Bible for 25 years, I've never seen where Jesus comes to somebody and tries to clean them up first. We don't see it. All we see is Jesus always starts with grace. Jesus always starts with love, and He always starts with mercy. That's the first thing He speaks. That's the first thing He gives us, is love and mercy. See, growing up, the only time I prayed to God was for fire insurance. Anybody ever been there? My whole intent was, I just don't want to burn in hell. I'm not going to hell. And so I had this on my heart. My relationship was, I just don't want to burn in hell. And so I would carry this guilt around. And I was just always praying over my sins, but never changing, because I didn't see that God really loved me. I didn't see that God really cared about me. And I see God was a mess up. I was doing things that I know he wouldn't be proud of. And I saw those mistakes in my life. And so all I was doing is just trying to cover myself with fire insurance. But I never went after God. And I remember one year after I was in college, I'd graduated my first year in college. I was working in a factory for a summer job in a bottle factory where they pour glass and make containers. And I was working the late shift that night. And I was in the very back corner working where the machines come off and they bring down the boxes full of glass bottles. And I had to stack them up high and then wrap them up and tie them off. And I'm there working. I'm sweating. It's about 110 degrees because of the furnace in the building. So that plant is just scorching hot. I'm burning up, you know, pouring Gatorade down as fast as I can, pouring water over me. I'm back there sweating, and I feel God's presence coming to me. And I'm back there working, Tim, and I feel God's presence hitting me back there. I'm like, God, what? I know you're calling me. God, I know you're with me. And he came to me, and I just feel God saying, Gene, I've got more for your life. Gene, I want to do more with your life. Gene, I've got a higher purpose for your life. Gene, I've got more than you just doing this. I've got a purpose I want you to pursue. Gene, I'm coming after you. Gene, I love you. And I was like, God, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what this looks like. But I know you're coming after me. I was in the middle of a church. I was in the middle of a favorite worship song. He came to me in 110 degrees in the backside of a factory at midnight one night and said, Gene, I've got a bigger plan for your life. I'm coming after you. And he pursued me. I was like, God, I don't know what this looks like. I can't. I know you got a call, but God, I don't know what that looks like. I can't do it like that. I can't do it like that because I couldn't stand all the pastors I knew. They were crazy. I'll be honest. I didn't like any of them, hardly any of them. I was like, man, I can't be like that. They're weird. I was like, God, I don't know what it looks like, but I know you're coming after me for more than just fire insurance. I know you're wanting to do something, and you've been calling me to follow you. And I remember that night there in the back of that factory, I said, God, I'll follow you. God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And that started the first night of my journey of saying, God, I'm going to follow you. See, he pursues us. He pursues us. We don't pursue him. He pursues us, and he calls to us. I didn't find Jesus. He found me. He came after me. See, he called me. He called Matthew. Hey, Matt, get out from under there. I know. He didn't say anything about condemnation. He just said, get up. Follow me, Matt. Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I know you're a tax collector. I know you're the most hated. I know you're the shortest one here. I know you're lame. Come on down. Follow after me. I'm going to your house for lunch. He comes and he pursues us. Pete, come here. Do you love me? Not Pete. I know you blew it last week. I know you denied me 3 times. I know you did it when I told you you would do it. You did it anyway. I know you failed me. He didn't say any of those things. He said, Pete, do you love me? Then let's go. Pete, you're back on the team. Let's go. Pete, you blew it. Everybody knows it. I don't need to say it. But Pete, follow after me. Let's go. Feed my sheep. Let's do it. Pete, come on. Let's go. The prodigal son is in the pig's pen. Blew everything, disrespected his father, returns home. The father sees him, takes off running to him, wraps his arms around him, welcomes him back, never says, hey, you made a mistake. Hey, you blew it. Hey, I told you so. Hey, why don't you go clean up first? No, you just came from the pig's pen, but I'm going to wrap my arms around you because, son, I love you that much. Son, you don't have any feet. Get this boy some new feet. He doesn't have any clothes. Bring him out the best robe. My son is returned home. He pursues us. He runs after us. He comes to us. I just turned my heart to him and said, yes, God, I'll follow after you. You know, when our kids get sick, have you ever been in that situation when, you know, you're in the middle of the night and you hear a kid crying out of the room? And all of a sudden you hear the sound you never want to hear coming out of your kid's room. And you hear your kid sick, throwing up all over the room, throwing up all over the bed, throwing up all over themselves. Mama hears it first because dad sleeps through it all. And then dad hears mama trying to go in there, and all you hear mama going, I can't. I can't even. Dad walks in there in the middle of that mess. I don't walk in and say, you know what? Why didn't you take some medicine if you were sick? Why didn't you get up and make it to the trash can if you were sick? Why did you ruin your bed? Why did you throw up over yourself? Why did you throw up over the carpet? I don't do that, do I? I walk over in the middle of that mess, as sick as it is. I pick that kid up, take him to the shower, and dress him, clean him off, wrap him up in some clean clothes, and I wrap him back up, take him in, tuck him in with mom in the bed. Dad goes back into the bedroom, gets on his hands and knees, and cleans up all that mess. Dad strips down the beds, puts them in the dirty clothes, the washing machine. Dad sprays Febreze everywhere and Lysol. Lights candles. Does everything I can to get that mess out of there. See, that's the way our Savior sees us. Some of us, that's what we look at. We think, man, I'm such a mess. God, you wouldn't have anything to do with me in my mess. And God's like, no, I see you in your mess and I love you anyway. Because you're my child. Because you're my child. I pursue you because you're my child. Let me come and let me wash you with my blood. Let me wrap my coat of righteousness around you. Let me change your mess. You just come with me. You just come with me. See, God chased after us. Think about it. He left heaven. He left the throne of heaven to come and chase after me. Jesus left his throne to come and chase after the person who was broken. He left his throne to come after the person who's lame, who's blind, who's hurting, who's crying, who's blown it, who's rejected him. He still comes after us. He left his throne to come after us, to come after you. No, I didn't pursue him. He pursued me. He pursued me. He pursued me. I don't have to come to him insecure. God, you created my insecurities because you pursued me. Let's bow our heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I believe the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life is this question I'm asking you today. The first and foremost, the first question is, say, Pastor, I'm asking you this, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I've been waiting to clean up first, Pastor. I've been trying to change some things first. I didn't think God could accept me. You can't. None of us are ever good enough on our own. Today, God's calling you. God's pursuing you, and today's your day. I'm here to tell you today is your day to meet Jesus. We won't do anything to single you out. We won't do anything to embarrass you, I promise you. And with nobody looking but me, can you just simply raise your hand if that's you and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Pastor, thank you. Yeah, anybody else? You want to join them? Thank you. Yeah. Come on, one more time. If you haven't raised them yet, raise them right now. Say, I'm going to join these people and make a decision to stay. Thank you. Yeah. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for your grace and mercy. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family, God. Give him a hand clap. Yeah, man. This is why we're here today. It's exciting. Stand on your feet this morning. Come on, how many today say, Pastor, man, I get trapped in the insecurities at times. Does anybody hear me honest? Yeah, come on, we all do. Yeah, I get trapped in those insecurities. Today, God's here to remind you, no, I didn't find him. He found me. He pursued me. In spite of myself, he pursued me, and he still pursues me, and he says, come, follow after me. We're going to close with a song, and it simply says, your love, it knows no end. If you want to come down to the front, I'm open the altar up. If you want to come down and pray, sing, however you want to do, we're going to say, God, we want to go after you. We're stepping out and saying, God, I want to pursue what you're doing in my life. God, you're coming after me. And I say, God, I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness, God. And today, I'm going to quit allowing myself to disqualify myself. I'm going to quit allowing myself to feel like I'm not worthy. I'm going to quit stopping and saying, I can't do this because of you. No, today I'm saying yes. Today I'm saying yes. Today I'm saying yes. I'm going to follow after you, God. Today I'm making a commitment in my heart. I'm going to follow you like never before. I'm not going back to the person I used to be. But today I'm saying yes. If that's you, raise your hand and say yes. Today I'm saying yes. Today I'm saying yes. Come on. Today I'm saying yes. Come on now. Come on. Give a big hand. Yeah. I'm going to invite you to join me around the front. All of us here who want to come to the front. Let's close out with the love of God, singing about his love, his mercy, his grace. Come on, let's saturate ourselves in God's presence today. Let's saturate ourselves in God's mercy today. And let's tell him, God, we love you. Come on. I invite you this morning. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord as I pray for you one more time? Father, I thank you that you first loved us. May we never forget that, God, you came after us. You pursued us in spite of our sin, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our failures, in spite of how bad we stink. God, you came after us. You pursued us. May today we allow insecurities about how much you love us, insecurities about how much you accept us, begin to fall off. I pray those insecurities are falling off in Jesus' name. I pray for a new passion to follow after you. I pray for a new passion to say, God, I'm going to focus in on your love. I'm going to focus in on you calling me to follow you. And I say yes. And I say yes today, God. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I will follow you. I will go where you tell me to go. I will do what you ask me to do. God, I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to just be a person with fire issues. But God, I want to be a disciple. I want to be a person used of you, your hands, your feet, to make a difference. And God, I thank you. You're allowing those insecurities to fall off in Jesus' name. And we are free, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, put your hands together. Say, God, I love you. Listen to me this morning. When you leave today, we got a bunch of free snow cones out there. We'd love for you to stop and get one. When you go out the front doors to the right, everybody's welcome to get one free one out there. And, you know, Tim, just one, okay? Just one. But everybody gets one free one. And we just love you guys so much. Thank you for being here this morning. We value your relationship, and we love you very, very much. Thank you, guys. Have a blessed week.